This episode is brought to you by Shutterstock.com. At Shutterstock.com, you'll find the perfect image or video for your next creative project. Choose from over 20 million high-quality stock photos, illustrations, vectors, and video clips. At Shutterstock.com, use the code FILMSAC2 at checkout for 30% off any package.
Pygar, have you ever heard of the name Duran Duran?
Duran Duran?
Yes, Duran Duran. He's an astronaut from the planet Earth.
I do not know of such things.
This is what I love about my job. This is FilmSack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to FilmSack. This is FilmSack, mining the very depths of film entertainment since mankind has been on this earth. Welcome to episode 153, the Barbarella episode. Joining me tonight, Brian, your helmet had all the letters of your name in it, Dunaway.
Yes. I will play you like a piano. At first, it will feel rather warm and pleasant. Then it will hurt like hell. No, wait. This is the bikini waxer setting. Hold on a second. One. Love.
Nicely done. Also with us, Randy, prepare to insert nourishment, Jordan.
Aloha, gentlemen. Randy Deluxe here with Galactic Budgie Rescue, Screen Actors Guild Division. And this week, we've got an amazing deal for you that no budgie henchman aficionado could pass up. We've got 200 budgie henchmen fresh off assignment in the lair of 80s music dance artists, where they eliminated heroes and heroines alike with the strength of 200 budgies. Fair warning, you have to pay them scale or their union will strike. With the strength of 200 budgies.
I love how they're just sitting on her lightly, enjoying it. They weren't really doing anything.
While she screams in pain.
Just tasting the ketchup they were smearing on her. Finally with us, Brian, Exaltation Transference Pellet Ibit.
All right, so now, before you laugh, keep in mind that that's how all spaceship interiors looked in the 60s until women started shaving them.
Right.
Well done.
Oh my gosh, do we have to even continue after that? Because that was pretty damn good. I forgot how hairy the ship was.
Yeah.
So you brought that up again.
Shag carpety.
Ship. Woo! Yeah. Hairy ship. All right. Well, I knew a hairy ship in high school. Hey, welcome to the show, everybody. It's Barbarella. It's Barbarella, the movie, not the comic book. We'll talk about both those here in a minute. But before we get too deep, let's let Scott Fletcher do what he does best. Just drop the L from his name. Take it away, Scott.
Barbarella. In an unspecified future, Barbarella, played by Jane Fonda, is assigned by the President of Earth, played by Claude Dolphin, to retrieve Dr. Durand Durand, played by Milo O'Shea, from the planet Tau City. Durand Durand is the inventor of the positronic ray, a weapon. Because Tau Ceti is an unknown region of space, there is the potential for the weapon to fall into the wrong hands. Donning the first of many outfits, she crashes on Tau Ceti, where she begins a journey to discover the joys of celestial sex and experiences kinky misadventures.
Oh, man.
Channeling Zap Brannigan.
Zap Brannigan,
right,
for sure.
We could really have...
For a while.
Scott Fletcher could just do the whole show some week.
I know. I'm worried he's going to get some high idea and just take it over. The thing is, he emailed me and said, look, I can't do the extra quotes. Because my voice is shot, and I sound like Zap Brannigan. He says you'll hear it in the blurb, and I didn't. I usually save these so we hear them all together, and I did with this one because I had no idea what he was talking about. And sure enough, dude, whatever cold he's got or throat discomfort, it has led to direct Zap Brannigan comparisons, and I think they're out.
Show not.
He needs to hold on to that.
Yeah, pretty good stuff. Thank you, Scott Fletcher. Appreciated it very much. And it's Barbarella, you guys. It's 1968's Barbarella, based on the 1964 comic made by some French dude that no one will know.
So we're celebrating the 45th anniversary of Barbarella.
Right. There are people who were not in this. This is the best part.
Tickets for BarbarellaCon.
That's Barbacon. Yeah.
Barbacon is something that you use to clean the grill.
Oh, got it. Barbara be gone. It's a thing that came out. I just think it's important to note this. It's one of the few films, we've done others that are older too, but this is one of those films that none of us were alive for when it came out. None of us, not even Brian Ibbett and I, who are the oldest in the room.
And I don't think any of us have seen it or have seen the whole thing from beginning to end and like in the last 20 years, right?
I don't think I've ever seen it, period. I bits and pieces, knew what it was, knew it existed, knew that she was in it, all those sorts of connections and people, you know the references, but I never saw this in any form before. And probably because what form would I have seen it in? Was it ever on VHS? Maybe.
Sure. Oh,
was,
yeah.
Was right. I ever in that corner of the video store? I don't know.
it's that wall. Not quite when you go through those swinging doors into the porn section, but right on this side of the
right doors. On this side of it. Yeah, it would be like a white painted shelving system, and it would have a bunch of movies that were, you know, like as far as sex goes, were hard R.
Yeah.
But other than the full nudity in this film, there's really nothing questionable about it.
No.
You don't. I don't know. I actually thought about, well, what if I had like an 8-year-old and he was walking through the room while I was watching this movie? Like, there's really nothing challenging.
Yeah, you cut the nudity and there's nothing. There is a point where a dude says, "I would like to make love to you," and takes off his coat to find yet another coat underneath that is gross and sick. And I don't think it was real. I think that was fake.
See, I don't know. I'd have a problem with my 8-year-old watching even their freaky hand sex, their the gestures and sweating and gyrations.
Because you couldn't explain it. Daddy, what's happening?
Why is that happening? Actually, that and the giant piano of pleasure.
Yeah.
Piano of pleasure.
The piano of pleasure.
It's actually a sex organ.
Am I mistaken that he referred to that as the excessive machine?
Yeah, he did. I looked it up and confirmed it. The excessive machine or the orgasmatron. He called it, those were both used in the film.
The excessive machine sounds a little bit too self-aware for a script like this.
Well, he even called it something else when she messed the machine up. He accused her of burning it like a certain word that I have a clip for later.
Okay, excessive machine is the machine that keeps cranking out Hangover movies.
Yeah,
that's a good point. Hollywood still has the excessive machine. They're just using it in a different way now.
That's right.
Go ahead.
Just since you just happened to mention The Hangover Part 3.
Yeah.
Putting Zach Galifianakis in the excessive machine. Gotcha.
Has anybody seen the posters for this thing yet?
No.
Yes, I have.
Zero connection to it.
Yeah, they just went up. I've finally seen like the first poster for The Hangover on like the outside of a movie theater. Mm-hmm. And it's Zach Galifianakis with a freaking castaway beard, face like nose to nose with Ken Jeong.
Mm-hmm. Like, oh, there it is.
Like, what in the world are they going to do in this movie?
Well, it says in the poster that they're kind of, you know, I guess they're kind of like facing off.
Yeah, but it looks, you know what it looks like? Here, I'll give you a funny link that just sums it all up. This will go into your Skypes. We can't visually explain this very well until you see it. But
for those of you in the audience,
click on that link.
Go to
static3.refinery29.com/bin. I could go on.
Oh, I see. So Scott has sent us an image that compares the Hangover Part 3 trailer poster with the final Harry Potter Deathly Hallows 2 poster, and suggests that actually the one is just a
rip-off
parody
of
the other.
Yeah,
especially the fact that they both say it all ends.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know how I feel about any of this because I still haven't seen the first supposedly good Hangover movie, so I don't know. I have no judgment. I haven't avoided it. I just haven't. It was one of those that just slipped through the time and I missed it.
I dislike this phrase, I've picked it up from you and I'm going to throw it back on you. I would think you, Scott Johnson, would watch anything with Ken Jeong in it.
Yeah, I like him. I would watch anything. Well, you really don't like that phrase, do you? Well, I'm going to use that more tonight.
It's just because it's one of those things that is not, it's not ever fully true.
Right. It's true with Jason Statham.
But even then, you can imagine Jason Statham in a film that you would never want to see.
Actually, In the Name of the King is pushing me in that direction because I still haven't seen that. Yes. So anyway, by the way, he's in something on Netflix right now called
I don't see that.
No, it's got a name. It's short, and I forgot the name. Oh, shoot. Anyway, it goes after this cop killer guy, and it's ridiculous, over the top, stupid, violent.
Was it Ice-T? Is he trying to catch Ice-T?
No, I wish. He's the ultimate game, Brian. Ice-T is he's your ultimate.
Well, he's also the ultimate cop killer.
Right. Oh, that's right.
Never mind.
Don't you forget.
I'll just go back to my 80s and I'll be right back.
Directed by Roger Vadim. By the way, married at the time to Jane Fonda. Didn't know that, but explains why she probably agreed to any of this. Mm-hmm. He was also married to Brigitte Bardot before her. And the irony is, in some of the trivia, that
be pretty cool.
The character of Barbarella in the comic was inspired by Brigitte Bardot. And it's just kind of weird that her ex-husband ended up writing the thing or making a movie. This is a bit of weird trivia for you. Jane Fonda, 1989 to 2005, not a single role in anything.
Just workout DVDs, VHS.
It's a little bit weird.
Excuse me. Right.
That is what she was doing probably, right?
Pretty much, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is the Jane Fonda workout?
Yeah, that's true. This would all been like either.
Wasn't she in Korea at the time or something?
Well, it was like tail end of the Ted Turner time with her. And she was all up in everything. And she's all pissed now.
All up in everything.
We talked about this a little bit before the show off air, but we talked about how she's mad at Seth MacFarlane for doing that boob song. We saw your boob song. And after seeing this movie, I don't think she has any room to talk. She doesn't have any room to talk.
No. This was an artistic choice. It was integral to the plot to have her rolling around on a sheet of plexiglass all together.
Yeah, it made perfect sense, didn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
To achieve the effect of no gravity. That was real stupid.
If you look up Jane Fonda on Google, the first thing that pops up after that is traitor.
Oh.
And then, you know the big thing with Vietnam. Yeah, she was all like...
What was her deal? She was like, everybody should dodge the draft and move to Canada.
She very, very vehemently opposed the Vietnam War.
Yeah.
Right. And I think she actually went to Vietnam and talked to the... That was the big thing. Yeah. Which just recently happened with Korea.
She was talking to the Charlies in the tree?
Right.
Wait, are you saying that she's going to go to North Korea? No, you're talking about Dennis Rodman doing that.
Dennis Rodman did the same thing recently, and you saw how that turned out.
But that was really, really clever because he tricked the leaders of North Korea into believing that he's Barack Obama.
Right.
Which is just amazing.
Right, it's pretty good.
One of the greatest punkings of all time.
I still don't get that whole thing.
This is our second Jane Fonda film, yes?
Yeah, 9 to 5 is the first one.
Oh, I was trying to remember what we'd seen her in before.
Yeah. She was very different, much different age for her and stuff. And look, she was very, very cute and pretty back in the 60s. I mean, very good looking. But she has a voice that still makes me want to do like Kramer with Entertainment Tonight, where I just want to run. I can't stand it.
The wig she wears in this film is phenomenal.
Yeah, it's a beast.
It's like it should be in some hall of fame where you can go see it.
It should be called Laugh-In. There should be a little tag underneath that says property of Laugh-In. You know,
yeah. And Ruth Buzzy pops out of her hair every once in a while and tells a joke.
Right. I love Ruth Buzzy.
Like one of the, I think, was it one of the Brian, sorry, referenced all of the costume changes for the character in this movie. And all I could think was, where's she keeping all those clothes? Oh, in her hair.
Yeah. Just tuck them away. It's like your own. It's like your own little fanny pack. Oh, sorry, Europe. But what do you call it? Bag, bum bag. It's like your own personal bum bag.
Bum bag, yes.
I'll say fanny bag. It'll upset a bunch of people.
Well, it's a whole.
Why we saw her fanny in this movie
a couple times.
Yeah,
Nova JJ, but lots of bum. Yeah. And boom.
What we call the fanny is not what they call the fanny.
No,
okay.
No, they call it something very different. Yeah. Future Pink Floyd guitarist David Gilmour. He's probably my favorite because I like his voice better than. What's his name?
Roger Waters.
Yeah. For whatever, whenever he would kick in and go, you know,
right.
I love him. Anyway, was one of the session musicians who performed the film's original score. So some of that trippy 60s hippie music was.
It was like they were trying to figure out what instruments hadn't been used in like the last 50 years during the 60s. It was like, okay, what haven't we used?
Yeah.
Okay, we can use that.
Clockwork Orange does the same thing. You know, it's got that same kind of. Well, let's tune our Moog synthesizer to this frequency and play some music. Let's tune it to this.
Yeah. Someone bring out the, what's that? Not the Bavarian. What do you call it? The clarion?
The clavicorn?
No, the thing that they use for the.
bring out the Bavarian.
Bring out the German, the thing we used to call the German.
Bring out Scott's mouth harp.
What's it called? It's called
the Brazilian in this movie.
The, oh, and people at home are yelling at their.
All right, I'm looking it up. How they make that weird noise?
I don't even know what.
Sound
what are you
Star
referring
Trek.
To?
All right. So on Big Bang Theory, what's his name uses one to do the Star Trek theme.
Oh,
a kazoo?
No. You're talking about one of those. A theremin.
Jeez, yeah. Theremin. That's it. There. It's like the okay. So Brian, you mentioned Clockwork Orange, right? So we were talking a little bit before the show, and I think it'd be fun to talk about it now. There is a genre or class of films that were made in and around this time, and I think it probably spanned, I would say, 65 to 78 in there. It was not unlikely to go into a movie theater and find a movie like this that's set in space, but uses all these kind of Zardoz, Star Crash kind of techniques where space isn't actually space. It's like something under a Petri dish with a...
Right, it's milk being spilt into motor oil or something like that.
Let's get some perspective here, too. This is 1968. Where's Star Trek at? That's right.
Over.
Right.
Well, going right still, isn't it? I can't
right,
remember.
Yeah, right. They filmed this... they filmed it before 68, of course. They filmed it in 67.
Right.
So, yeah, Star Trek was just like right there. So you're talking about two very different things.
Yeah, but
2001 came out the same year. Rosemary's Baby, Planet of the Apes.
Mm-hmm. And even that's got kind of
Chitty,
weird.
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Even Planet of the Apes, the first one, which we've also done on the show, has kind of this weird feeling to it.
It does. It totally does, yeah.
And I don't know what was going on, or I don't know if it's even classified or if we're just the ones noticing it now or what, but there's a weird kind of filmmaking and this movie is just chock full of it.
It's a very interesting question. Something to think about is that the idea of computers was so in its infancy at the time, you know?
Yeah, the concept of it was, I mean, Star Trek, this is what's funny. And maybe this is why Star Trek endures so much, because now that Brian brings this up and says, 67, we're all kind of in the same time frame. So this is all being made at the same time. I mean, other than some bad acting, terrible sets and things like that, what really separated Star Trek from the other trends of science fiction was they got away, for the most part, from this hippy-dippy, it's outer space, man, and they got down to business. Like, this computer's going to calculate how far that threat is, and we don't know what that alien is, so we have to take logical steps with our technology that may seem far out, but it's all, you know, it's all for the greater good or whatever. This probably explains why Star Trek is what it is and why it's revered and... You know,
right. And this went the direction of, okay, we're still in the future, but there's no war now in part of the galaxy. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we've decided to go with a very sexual, innocent based future as opposed to what Star Trek is more a realist.
Which brings us to our first big trope.
Oh, wait a minute. Now, hold on. What do you got?
In the future, we're going to be way past this gross sex stuff.
Right. Yeah.
Hey, man.
Oh, my God.
We use that again later on. Demolition Man. Shells. Absolutely. Right?
Equilibrium.
That's not how you use the shells. By the way, that's for the toilet.
Yeah, that's the toilet.
I know,
part.
But it's the same kind of thing.
It still brings up, you can just mention it, and I go, Taco Bell, Brian goes, three shells, somebody else says, jumpsuit on, what's his name?
Creepy old dude having virtual sex with Sandra Bullock.
In Star Wars, their Jedi do not have sex with people, which is what makes Anakin so different than everybody else.
They kiss people, though, right?
And they walk around with a big phallic symbol.
Only their sisters.
All around.
Yeah. We just watched The Island, where a whole class of people were being, treated to the proximity rule and forced apart.
We haven't seen The Island yet, have we?
We got sent The Island.
Oh, Brian, Randy must have watched it early. That's cool.
Oh, yeah.
No, that's a great movie.
I watch it all the time.
I love that movie. it's one of my favorite Michael Bay movies. People think I'm stupid, but I like it a lot.
I think you're stupid.
Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
Like, these movies really, really like this trope. This sex is old and gross.
What's the new hotness, right? It's not the old sex thing. Yeah. But Barbarella finds that she explores this path of retrograding to old sex. I'm going to try to use
retro. Some names. Yeah. And when she crawled into bed with the hairy guy. And,
I'm going to try to verbalize every, I'm going to turn verb. I'm going to turn every movie title we have into a verb.
She woke up, they had some food. It was like almost like a breakfast club together. And
breakfast clubbing.
Yeah. They were breakfast clubbing and then they all died hard. All right.
Then they got some Jenga.
All right. Well, yes, it's a, I get why you do it. It's like, oh, society has gone too far in one direction. So now they got to, what's it like to be human again? And how do you find out? Well, you hang out with this big hairy guy who's on that ice planet catching kids with a net. Go talk to him. See what he can bring to your life. Ooh, with his hairy chest. He was like the interior of her ship.
That dude is so freaking hairy. I loved it.
Yeah. Why are we so convinced that in the future, the things that humans have always done, you know, are going to go away? Like, we're going to out-tech having to eat or having to take a poop or whatever. And all, by the way, these are all things.
I'm working on that.
Google's going to come and revolutionize all that stuff.
It's you're right. They either do
possibly bag on order.
They do one of two things. They either don't explore any of those basic human things, or they say, "Well, what if you didn't have to do it anymore? We just took your material out of your fingernails and we had babies that way." Like they want to ask these hard science fiction questions. And I find myself usually wishing they were answering other science fiction questions.
Sure.
Like I would prefer, what would it be like if we could travel to the Gamma Quadrant in a blink of an eye? That's more interesting than what if Barbarella had sex for the first time, even though she's dressed like she has it all the time.
Right. Would you sleep on a Saran wrap bed if you were going to try to?
It looked so uncomfortable.
Yeah. All I could hear was.
I would tell you. Right. God, plastic makes me sweat. Just thinking about wearing plastic just makes me sweat.
It's just sticky. Having to pull that thing off.
Right.
just imagine, like, if it's bad enough to imagine all of your skin and hair slowly collecting in your bed as it is, imagine that. Imagine that bed.
Wait, you know, I poo-poo it, but yeah, really, really the future. I mean, if you're going to sleep for a really long time, you can pee right there in the bed and it can collect in the plastic sacky thing. And, you know, it can that's what she was drinking when she woke up.
Yeah, you'd wake up all refreshed every day.
Bed sweat.
Yeah.
Bed sweat nutrition.
And the computer could just go, "No problem. I'll happily suck it dry for you." This is the worst computer.
Don't talk bad about the computer, because I love the way they represented the computer visually, because he was like flashing little flaps of things.
Did you have those when we were kids?
He was a wall of Jacob's Ladder.
Yes.
He was.
When you were a kid, you could buy those plastic ones at the store, and they would tick, tick, click, click, and I thought that was great.
Which was smart, because it's kind of like an abacus and kind of like one of the computers we would have back in that day.
You see the crew having to run out there and reset it, though, every time?
Yeah, I was going to say, the noise that thing must make constantly going.
Anyway, really, really bad tech and that kind of stuff in this movie. I found it kind of obnoxious, but whatever. I tried to have an open mind here and try to look for.
The movie wants to be funny. It doesn't actually get there, but I mean, it's got a character named Dildano. I mean, it wants to be funny.
Yeah, Dildano. You think that was on purpose?
Yes.
I wondered it when I heard it, and I went,
I don't think there was anything in this movie that wasn't on purpose.
Did they have deal that word?
Sure. You can say dildo. Go ahead.
Of course, yeah.
Say it. They've been headed since 1968.
The problem with the word dildo
now
is
stupid. Now I got to Google and see when the first one was.
I was going to say, when did the Naked Lunch come out, William S. Burroughs? Because that's where Steely Dan got their name, was from the dildo in Naked Lunch.
Oh, they did?
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can't think of Steely Dan anymore. Steely Dan?
Lose that number. Yeah, that's what it's named after.
Oh, my gosh. All right, fine. Let's not talk about Pearl Jam or any of the other bands.
Limp Bizkit.
Yeah, I don't want to hear about Limp Bizkit. No.
It's actually probably a good time to talk about the two bands that got their name from this movie.
Well, one of them is so hard to figure out. I don't know if I can think of it.
What could it possibly be? Yeah, Duran Duran got their name from this movie. Yeah. Second band to get their name from this movie, Garbage.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Really?
No.
That's the best they could do? I was about to say.
That's like, what are they talking about?
All right. That was my runner-up for opening joke.
That was pretty
good. That's nice.
That's
really nice.
That's pretty good. You have runners up. That's awesome.
Don't search for dildo. That's a horrible idea.
Yeah, not by itself.
Just in case Randy takes mine, which has happened before.
I thought I'd be safe by going to Wikipedia, but no.
Yeah, don't.
Don't look that up on Wikipedia.
No, Wikipedia. Wikipedia wants you to think it's going to tell you all about George Washington and the time he did that great thing. But no, you can search for things in Wikipedia that will make your grandmother fall over.
The pictures just get worse as you keep scrolling down.
I know.
Exactly. Don't do it. I'm going to be here to help you out.
Although it is my favorite thing in the world to go. Like let's just say
it's really old, the thing we had talked about.
Okay. It's made out of metal and has cranks. And
I don't want to get any more description than that. I think we've already risked our...
that's called that's the Rusty Dan. And they didn't want to name their band after that.
the Rusty Dan.
Barbarella is the first science fiction hero to be go from heroine. Comics that was adapted to a feature film as opposed to a serial. So Flash Gordon and Buck Rogers, which were kind of the male predecessors to this sort of thing, had only appeared in serials up to this point. In time, of course, movies came later, TV shows later, but Barbarella went straight from comic to film feature or feature film, which was kind of unusual at the time. David Hemmings, the loud dude in Gladiator that he would announce the next fights with the big eyebrows.
Oh.
He was the Duran Duran guy, the man mm-hmm. running the orgasmatron.
Oh, is that who that was?
Yes.
Oh,
so, wow. How I guess old is he?
At the time, he's dead now, but he was in, we just saw him
he
in,
stopped counting, okay?
Equilibrium is where we saw him. He was in that. He was the guy taking him to see the great leader or whatever.
In Equilibrium.
Yeah, that guy's cool. But in Gladiator, just hearing him go, "And we'll bring out the thing with the," just with the loud. Mm-hmm. Like,
now look at my eyebrows.
He's great.
I know, big old honking eyebrows. By the way, you're on this big Frasier and West Wing kick. He's been in both of those.
Yeah, he has. I was looking at his credits. I'm like, damn it, when am I getting to that West Wing episode?
Oh, he's been in everything. Look at this. Cheers. Yeah. He's like Golden Girls. Who's the boss? He just says, whatever. Need an old man for your movie or TV show, I'll be there.
You need somebody with big eyebrows? I got you covered.
I'm Barbarella.
He used to be a comedian, I guess, and the whole idea was to hire him in the 60s to do this role because they decided to take a more lighthearted approach. And I got to tell you, if I'm going to grade everyone's performance, if I'm looking at just acting and stuff like that, Jane Fonda's all right. Her voice just bugged me. But I think that guy was the best thing in the movie.
Did a fantastic
job.
Who
else? Everyone else sucked.
Well, let's go back to Jane Fonda. I think really the inspiration for her acting in this movie was from Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz.
It was uncanny.
I totally could see that.
From that innocence.
I guess there's also a thing where these are actors who grew up watching films from the 40s, and so their idea of how you speak and how you deliver is borrowed from an older generation because it really sounds out of place now.
Yeah.
But I'm sure at the time, if you'd gone and seen four movies and one of them was Barbarella, her emotive delivery, would you go, "Oh, well, that's just like
you
Shatner."
There? Mm-hmm. And the sex organ was there.
Oh, that's a good point. That is the Shatner era. That's the Jane or the, who played Batman in the '60s. Forgot his name already.
Adam West
era. Yeah. That's those guys. And they all talk like that. Oh, geez, what the hell?
It's all that same delivery, yeah.
I just get the impression every time I see her do anything, now, then, in the 80s, whatever, that she is just a pisser to get along with in real life.
Like, I believe she,
and I'm not sure all these divorces are
very opinionated.
Yeah, but I mean, all these divorces are maybe indicative of that, or maybe they're not. But I'm just saying that there's something about her and the way she looks at people in movies, even in this one where she's cute and kind of innocent and kind of hot back then. There's something about her face that I just go, I bet you are hard on set. I'll bet no one likes to hang around with you. You come from Hollywood royalty, and that pisses everybody off, and you're irritating. Sure that's that. That's what I get off of her.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Her real name is Lady Jane Seymour Fonda.
Holy.
Take that. No wonder.
Wait, what's Dr. Medicine Woman doing in this?
Just in plain Jane Seymour, yeah. Lady Jane Seymour Fonda.
Lovely. Nice. Hello. What else? So, yeah, there's some of that stuff. What's with the... skip ahead here. Oh, every actor. So she's an Academy Award winning actress, mind you.
Right.
We always say every actor has their Zardoz, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is this Jane Fonda's Zardoz? It's got to be.
Sure.
No.
Why not?
What is then? Well,
there is one?
What else?
I just don't think this, like her performance here and so forth, is that far out of line with her career.
Mm, really?
Like Sean Connery and Zardoz. It's like that is outlandish.
Yeah, that's okay. I see what you're saying. You're saying that her, well, I don't know, because lately she built such a reputation for herself as a political activist and all that, that she almost kind of quit being an actress and became just this other thing. And so, so I don't know. I think that maybe put her in a place where she's not that far a stone's throw from something like Barbarella, whereas Sean Connery, it feels wrong and horrible that you put him in Zardoz.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You put her in this and you're like, she's nice boobs and stuff. And it's fine. But yeah. So, okay, if this isn't her Zardoz, I was going to say, well, what is? But then I think I can count four Jane Fonda movies I've ever seen.
Right. Well, you know,
I like Peter Fonda better. I like her brother.
Mm.
He's real good in 310 to Yuma, everyone. Go watch that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So good.
He's so good in that. Oh, my gosh. I was craving that movie this weekend, and I can't find my Blu-ray anywhere. I almost pirated it.
Yeah, I think I've only seen three or four Jane Fonda movies, too. Obviously, 9 to 5, Coming Home. China Syndrome, Golden Pond.
Oh, I've seen that's the other. So I've seen three. I've seen On Golden Pond, 9 to 5, and this. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Right, right. Oh, she's playing Nancy Reagan in a new movie called The Butler.
Hmm.
Oh, all right.
So is Nancy Reagan the butler? Who's no. the butler?
Wait, we have butlers? What's going on?
Nice. Well, and it's also got Dwight. Robin Williams is Dwight Eisenhower. John Cusack is Richard Nixon. This sounds like a joke.
Yeah, this no, can't
it's a,
be
it's
real.
A movie. It's
James
a movie
Marsden is JFK.
It's a movie about a butler at the White House who sticks around through all these different presidencies.
Tell me right, he's played right. by like the guy that plays Mr. Bean.
Look at tell Alan me it's Rowan Atkinson. Ronald Reagan.
Who?
John Cusack, Robin Williams.
Alan Rickman is Reagan?
This is actually pretty good because there's just
Where
gonna be cameos.
Are my jelly beans, Mr. Potter?
There are going to be cameos for a lot of these great actors, so I'm down with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
You kind of sold me.
Nixon, though.
Yeah, that's where.
Alan Rickman is Ronald Reagan. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Yes.
What
yes.
is wrong with that? That's a weird idea.
Picking Snape.
So let's take a quick break. Talk about Shutterstock.com. I love me some Shutterstock.com. I make all kinds of stuff that require video vectors and patterns and photographs for different clients and stuff. And if you're a creative type and you do that sort of thing, well, then we have an incredible deal for you. Shutterstock.com's got all kinds of stuff. The perfect stuff for web page, publications, print, web media, advertising, videos, any kind of project, really. You can choose from over 20 million high-quality stock photos, illustrations, vectors, and video clips and make just about anything you want to do. Many contributors to Shutterstock are pro photographers, so no lame stuff in there. They add something like 10,000 images every day, so every time you come there, there's going to be something new. Here's the best part. We can save you 30% off any of their packages if you just simply go there today and use FilmSack2 at checkout. If you use that code, that will get you 30% off any of their packages, no matter what they've got. You can use their new iPad app, which is pretty awesome. They have incredible customer service with 24-hour support all through the week. Go check it out. You can get individual image packs or monthly subscriptions, whatever it is. Just make sure you use that code FilmSack2 and get 30% off today at Shutterstock.com.
Hey, what did you do to Terrence Howard instead of that Iron Man 2 or 3? What did you do? Oh,
I read an article with him. He let the beans spill. I got that all backwards. On his relationship with Favreau and the whole Iron Man fallout. And it was really kind of interesting. He basically was the highest paid actor on the first film.
Right.
And when they went to go make the second one, they didn't like that scale. And they said, you know what? You either got to take less or go away. And he got pissed and walked away. And Hollywood just, he claims that Hollywood after that just shut him down. Just wouldn't let him have any roles. He was making $11 million, $20 million a movie. He was now making 4 or 5.
That's
poor
amazing.
Guy. I know, poor guy. But he's pissed about it. Like, he is none happy at all.
Well, I would be too.
Well, he doesn't like Hotel Rwanda walking in there and taking his job and
right.
you know, getting to be the what's the Patriot looking one? Is it called the Patriot?
Well, it was Iron Patriot in the comics. Who knows if that's what they're going to call it? Because Iron Patriot in the comics was actually Osborne, Norman Osborn. Wasn't Rhodey?
Right, but Rhodey's wearing it in this movie, as best I can tell.
Yeah,
I'm kind of excited about the third one, to be honest. You know who made that? Who's directing it? It's the Kiss Kiss Bang Bang guy, and that movie's awesome. You guys seen that?
Right.
No.
Oh, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang is so good.
Oh, yeah. It's the one with Guy Pearce, right?
It's also got Downey Jr. in it. Guy Pearce might be in it. I don't remember now. But
yeah, Robert Downey Jr. Yeah.
That's a real good movie.
Val Kilmer, that's who I'm thinking of.
Yeah. That's awesome movie. If you haven't seen it, out there listening.
Hey, you know we haven't talked about in this movie, Barbarella, so far, is Anita Pallenberg, the tyrant.
The Black Queen.
The Black Queen.
Oh, they kept calling him my pretty.
Yeah, she was like the dark haired. She was pretty nice looking lady.
Yeah, but her voice was real weird.
She had that.
It was overdubbed, but it was weird. I don't like it. That accent bugged me. I have some clips of her, and you can see what I mean there. But yeah, she's all right. She had the cool little
the bay window.
No. Was she married to Mick Jagger? Who was that?
Was she? I don't know.
She married to?
I thought Mick Jagger was only ever with what's her name? Man's name.
Yeah, tall blonde woman. Jerry Hall.
Jerry Hall. I can't think of names.
Jerry Hall.
I knew it was a dude's name. That's like the guy. It's like the guy that puts the garbage out
Keith
of your
Richards.
High school. Oh, Keith Richards.
Keith Richards. I'm sorry. Yeah. The other guy with the lips.
He had lips? Well.
Actually, no. She had a brief fling, so she began dating Brian Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Then she left him for Keith Richards, and then she had a brief fling with Mick Jagger. So she's
she's into the lips.
She's a roadie.
She's into the Stones, yeah.
She's a freaking roadie.
Oh, and Angie, the song by the Rolling Stones, was written for her.
Aw.
Angie.
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 Her name's
not
Angie.
You had a stupid accent in that movie. did you guys know? Here's a little tip, a little PSA for you. Do you guys know that if an angel falls from the sky, lands on the ground, gets hurt real bad, you bring him back to life by squeezing his wings together?
Oh, I love that.
Like hand cranking him.
Wing, so wing PR.
I know, it's what I thought too. I thought, really? You can't just roll him over and do a little traditional CPR?
Well, come on. You can't roll him over because those things will break right off. Just like
point, Ibbit.
Yeah, duck your head down. Well, don't worry about your head. Worry about the wings.
I was really given pause by that.
Yeah.
That spot.
Yeah.
In that spot in that movie, I'm stopped and I'm thinking, what else were their options? What could they have had her do? And it's like anything.
Anything
would have been better.
Throw some water on him. Mm-hmm. Something.
Kiss him and be sad that he's not breathing, and then have him suddenly go, like do that trope. That would have been better than squeezing his wings together.
I kind of liked it.
Because it looked like you'd been trained. Like, oh yeah, my training's kicking in. I remember now. If an angel's dead, just squeeze
his wings. You know what it says to me?
What?
Kudos to the prop department who made something so sturdy that it could handle that.
Here's how my brain – actually, that wasn't bad. The wing thing was pretty good. Right. But here's what my disgusting brain goes. I thought it would be funny if she squeezed his wings together like one of those old Play-Doh machines. A little star-shaped poop would come out of his butt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A little fuzzy poop for barbershop.
And, and the poop is all covered with glitter.
Yes. See? Yeah. Just making it better. Just making it better.
That's okay. Angels forget, so it doesn't matter.
Somewhere a bell would ring.
Oh, that's true. Angels do forget. That's another thing we learned about those stupid angels.
Right. Yeah. And they are love.
Aren't they?
They don't make love.
Love. No.
But they're blind.
I have no idea what the angels' parameters were. I've still not figured it out.
Well, no, atrophy
the rules
of the
aren't quite as
well
defined as like vampire rules.
Right, right. Have you guys read any of Irredeemable, the comic book? You read that at all? It's really good.
Is it good? Yeah.
There's a character in there who's modeled after like Hawkman or Angel, you know, these kinds of winged characters in comics. He's kind of modeled after that. And he cuts his wings off because of I can't remember what the deal was.
But didn't Angel do that? Or they had his wings cut off?
Cut off?
Yeah, they had his wings cut off. Apocalypse probably, did it when he was a member of the
probably more than once.
Nerds. So, yes. But I don't know, what was my point with that?
Welcome to Comic Dorks.
Oh, I know what my point was. That feels, something about that feels terrible. Like, that seems like a really terrible, like, you can take away, I don't know, Magneto's magnet power, or you can remove the claws from Wolverine or something. And those all seem like bummers, right? But taking a dude's wings off when it's really only thing he's got,
I'm kind of confused. I'm just kind of like looking through the covers and stuff, and I'm seeing Irredeemable, and it's a dude with a cape, and I'm assuming somebody must have taken his wings off.
No, different guy. That's a different character. This other guy's more of a side character, and he's kind of on the good guy side, although I'm not caught up, so I don't know where he's at now. But that book's really good. And just as a side note, people should read Irredeemable because it's this idea. It's this great idea where they say, what if Superman snapped one day and just said, well, F you guys. I do all this for you,
and you are
about as grateful as nothing. I'm going to just wipe out whole cities with one swoop of my eye vision thing, or I'm going to pummel this or do that or set off this nuke or destroy this other person and also some really terrible personal things to other people that used to be his friends. And what would that do? And what would the other heroes do? It's awesome. It's real, real. It's in this era of Breaking Bad has five characters we all love and they're all dicks, you know? So you're rooting for people you hate, but it's real good.
The anti-hero.
Yeah, it's really, really good. Published by IDW or no, Boom Studios. Sorry.
Boom.
Welcome to Comic Dorks, everyone.
All right.
Anything else you guys want to call out? I mean, the whole thing. I know what. Somebody asked the question. We can just talk about it real quick. Did it? I don't know what the hell we were doing in the movie. I mean, I'm paying attention to the visuals, but what was going on?
Boobies.
They were after
she
that.
She just wants her ride fixed. That's all she wants.
Okay. They're trying to. They're, okay. There's a quest to find Duran Duran because
he's building a weapon.
Because he's building a weapon.
But okay, so the positronic ray.
Right.
Which is stupid.
Right.
But forget that. Okay.
What was the original name of Data's brother on Star Trek?
Positronic Ray. Yeah. But they just went with Lorg as a sound equivalent.
Ray, get over here.
Give me a Ray. No, but it's okay. So, but I guess, so we'll start, let's go around the thing here. Randy, if I had to ask you point blank and you had to answer it in front of a press room full of people, because I've been watching The West Wing and I think about press rooms all the time.
Yeah,
your answer to this question would be what when I say Barbarella, Barbarella's plot is about blank. What is it?
A sextronaut who is charged by the president of everything 40,000 years from now to track down an 80s dance band.
Okay. I love it. That's perfect.
All right.
Randy or Brian Ibbett, go. I'm fill in the blank. How would you describe it?
Now I kind of want to go on the straight on this. All right. So basically she's tasked by the president of whatever.
Earth or whatever.
To hunt down this Duran Duran guy because he's building a weapon in a future where there are no weapons. Uh-huh. And right. It could potentially start war, which I guess he would win if he has the only weapon.
Right. And his only weapon should have been...
It's a young woman's erotic journey from Milan to Minsk.
Well said. My Seinfeld reference. Brian, right. Dunaway, sum it up. What's the... I mean, don't sum it up like we do at the end of the show. But, what is this movie about? Because I still don't know if I know after even these two have said it.
I'm real glad you people came to our Barbarella press conference all these years later, 40 years later. I want to tell you what was really going on. We were stoned out of our minds, and Jane Fonda was getting naked. I don't know what else was going on.
That's all we needed. That. We don't need nothing else.
And there's your movie.
There's your movie. Enjoy. I don't know. Enjoy. 45 years later. Now, that's kind of how I feel about it. I feel like these things were weird excuses just to go,
yeah,
and have like funky special effects that were almost... overtly trying to be artistic and not succeeding at actually being a thing. Like, here's supposed to be a spaceship. Oh, why won't we make it pink and have it throb? And let's have lights underneath this and have wind blowing in their face when this happens. Not because it serves the park your head at the door reality we're trying to tell here, but because it serves existential, don't tell me what to do, man. I see stuff my own way, man. Like, that's the hippie trippy thing I got through the whole movie.
Well,
and
there was no damn plot. Love. And this is at the end of the, or right in the middle of the whole love movement. So, totally part of that. You know, take drugs, do some acid, smoke some pot, that kind
of
thing.
Yeah, they were all doing bongs in the middle of the thing. Remember that?
Yeah, there were man essence, was
one lady was
which
airing out
like
her
feet.
Hookah man. Right.
That one lady was airing out her junk. Did you see that? You saw that, right?
Yes.
Well, man, if he was wearing plastic all the time, you'd be wanting to air out your junk.
All I could hear my mom was just cross your legs, young lady. That's immodest. Okay. Well, let's get to some clips. I have many of them. There's a great deal of clips that came from this film. Let's start with some of the bad music. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I love that.
Yeah,
right? It's pretty darn good.
I want the soundtrack. What if you can get it?
It's just one slice of Tijuana grass away from Herb Alpert.
Yeah. That's about right. All right, here's some more of that. It's a wonder, Wonder Woman. The DC lawyers get online. Sorry, you can't say Wonder Woman. That's not allowed.
You could then.
I guess you could. That's true. There's more. Barbarella, Barbarella. I just kept captioning this horrible music. I want to go buy that. Someone find if you can buy that. Does Amazon carry that? They probably do.
It's really good. Like, I didn't realize it at the time, but now hearing it again, that's really good music.
Barbara Ella.
Barbara Ella.
Barbarella.
Ella. Ella.
Barbarella.
Oh, they've got instant video. I was trying to find soundtrack. I can't
find it. Here it is. By Bob Crew. It's from vinyl.
Oh, wait, no way.
Yeah, $13 used. Oh, one says one new. I'm not buying that.
I want the CD.
All right, the CD, audio CD. Hold on a second.
Oh, yeah, look at that. Bob Cruise and Charlie Fox.
$2,600 collectible.
$99.
$99.
All right, I'm going to have to check some sources on that. All right, where are we here? Here's the robot or the computer voice.
Robot.
Let's just say it's no, what's her name from Star Trek? Here it is.
Stand by for a message from Deanthus, President of Earth and rotating Premier of the Sun System.
Wow, a little bit of a Vincent Price thing going on
there.
He did.
You know what they should have said? They should have said the Sol system. That was incorrect.
Yes.
It's not the right. Sun system. Dipshits. This happened through all this movie. Lots of really bad techno babble, which I usually enjoy, but at least Star Trek tried, you know, to come up with words that seemed interesting. But positronic ray. And we've got to get the, oh, and this, I'm going to save for the end of these clips, but that stupid, you'll know the one when you hear it. You'll go, yeah, that's the worst thing ever made. All right, we'll get to that in a minute. Here's how they greet and say goodbye to each other.
Love.
Love.
She's naked. She says,
love.
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 She sounded awkward, like she didn't really want to be there.
Right. You could remix that into a song.
Yep.
There's a lot of songs, actually.
Here's how he'd, pronounces it.
Have you ever heard of a young scientist named Durand Durand?
Yes.
No, he said Urand Urand.
He said, yeah, there's a Durand. D on the end of it in this movie.
Yeah, but isn't there a D on the front too?
Yes.
Well, yeah.
Well, he did it wrong.
It's not. Let's hear it again.
All right, hold on.
Have you ever heard of a young scientist named Durand Urand?
Durand yes? Urand.
He's got an accent.
Durand.
You think?
Durand.
That's what you're missing.
Have you heard of Durand Durand?
You can imagine the director on set stopping him. Oh, we got to take that again. Mm-hmm. You didn't get it right.
Durand.
Here we have a case of the Foley artists going a little out of control. Check that out.
It's a weapon?
For self-preservation. We borrowed it from the Museum of Conflict.
What the hell is going on there?
But you got it.
One of those mouth harps.
It was like what's her name? Samantha, twinkling her nose and appearing in the room over and over.
We borrowed it from the Museum of Conflict? Everything in this movie is named weird. Everything.
That's what I'm saying. It's so stupid.
It's not that far a stretch to Demolition Man, right? I mean, it's like the museum, the weapon wing of the museum.
Right. This is where the weapons are. All right. Did not really answer the question. I just wanted to point this out about this clip. She didn't really answer the question, so I'll see if you can catch it.
Who are you?
I am Mark Hand, the catchman. And you? Who are you?
I'm from the planet Earth.
Who are you?
Yeah.
Were you not watching the opening credits, Harry Man?
Did you not see it come out of my helmet? Float into the air and form the word Barbarella?
Oh, those opening title graphics were pretty awesome,
with the letters obscuring the naughty bits.
Yeah.
Right. And they had to put like an extra little fuzz filter on some of them because the letters themselves weren't doing a good enough job.
Like a little lighting and diffusion going on.
Exactly.
It's pretty good pre-Photoshop.
No computers.
Photoshop filter.
Yeah.
Right.
That was actually kind of impressive. It looked like a lot of work, that whole thing did. Mm. And having her to be naked the whole time, it's a piece of work. The rest of the movie's
an animator doing that.
Mm-hmm. Big piece of work. All right. Here's the hairy man asking the big question.
I mean, if there's anything you need or that I can do, please tell me.
Well, you could let me make love to you.
Make love, did you say?
Make love, did you say?
All I can picture is her in like 9 to 5. Her voice is just old to me. It's never young. It's just an old lady voice. Always will be. Always has been. You think that... See, this is what I think they should have named the band. Forget about Durand Durand. It should have been this.
You may proceed now to Sogo. It's there you will find Durand Durand Jr. If he still lives.
I think Durand Durand Jr. is a better name.
It is. You're right.
Dinosaur Jr.?
Totally. Yeah. Lil Durand or something.
Right.
Let's see. I don't know what this is. Her name too loud? I don't know what this... Oh, she fell down in the pit and he wants to find her back. So here it is.
Barbarella!
Do you have to do it like you're doing the butter commercial?
Ricola.
Yeah. Not butter, yeah, the throat thing. That's not what I would do if I thought you guys crashed into a sinkhole. I wouldn't go, Brian!
You mean after you screwed her over,
yeah,
had sex with her, and then put her inverter upside down or something like
that? Is that what happened? I missed that bit.
Yeah, he did it wrong.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dumbass. But I would never yell for you that way. I'd go, Barbarella! Barbarella! It'd be like when Solid Snake dies in the video game. I would be going, no!
You don't know that. If you were over top of a big cavernous thing, you might want to hear that echo. Maybe you only get to do it every once in a while.
Randy Jordan!
Randy Jordan!
That's stupid. The Leatherman. Beware the Leatherman. Oh, wait. No, not that one. This one.
I'm Pygar, the last of the Ornithanthropes.
Okay.
I'm Pygar.
My name is Pygar. What was it again?
I'm Pygar, the last of the ornithanthropes.
The ornithanthropes.
Yeah, at least he was handsome, right?
Wow, really bad, really bad second choice for Duran Duran's band name.
I agree.
The ornithanthropes. Wouldn't have gotten anywhere.
No, Rio would have been a big, it would have been a dumper. Nobody would have cared about that song. How about, let's see, I already did him. Let's do the Leatherman.
There isn't anybody in there.
No, the Black Guards are Leathermen. They are without fleshy substance.
What do you call the White Guard?
That's so shitty.
Don't be racist.
That is so, they're without leather fleshy substance.
Yeah.
There's nobody in there.
There isn't anybody in there.
Oh, really? Well, how about you, Angel Man?
No.
Okay, fine. What are they missing?
Fleshy substance.
Okay, great. use those on TMS now. All right, what do we got here? Here's a little one of those things that Randy said is on purpose in the movie, where they make these references with names and stuff, and you tell me if this is one.
Just in time, my energy box is completely dead.
Is that a reference?
Yes. Yeah,
for sure.
Yes.
Or is she just being stupid and couldn't think of a better name for that thing on her leg?
My energy box.
No, I think thing between her legs.
So. I think there was a better one, and it's not coming to mind.
I guess it was another reference to the energy box. Look at her energy box. It's almost depleted.
No. She does translation with her tongue box.
Let me adjust my tongue box. Yeah, right.
Really?
Yes,
really. Did you? She said it a couple times. Anytime she couldn't understand what people were saying.
Because there's only two languages in the universe. Right.
Before her English. Before her water skiing trip at the beginning.
With that that freaking sea ray or whatever it was on the ground.
Awesome.
I was tripping out. All right. I think every time she mentioned something about some box, you should have heard this.
No.
Every time. No. All right. This sounded like an anime to me. You tell me if I'm wrong. I feel like I was watching anime right here.
Excuse me.
What's going on? All right. Here's my favorite gasp in the film. Little gasp noises. I always like to capture these. Those are those two guys getting stabbed by Elektra or whoever she was.
Oh, yeah.
That's the,
when she had the twin little Elektra things that she flipped around.
Mm-hmm. That was the tyrant.
Here she is here.
Hello, pretty, pretty.
Whoa. Another line from her.
My fancy fuzzy freak.
That's pretty good. Mm-hmm. She used to say that to all of the Rolling Stones after she'd leave. All right, an innuendo on purpose number two.
I'm Dildano, head of the revolutionary forces. This is our headquarters.
Headquarters. Yes. All right, let's find where Ping went.
Headquarters to Professor Ping. Headquarters to Professor Ping.
He's annoying. Get a new guy in charge of your whatever. He was terrible.
Assistance, you're a rebellion.
No, he was. Yeah.
He was just real bad. All right, how about no more of this? This is the big long thing, and apparently this is named after a real town in somewhere.
Oh, the password.
This is terrible.
Oh yeah.
So I have it twice. Here's the first one with him saying it.
Sanfire Puskin with Golgerich Kindrobel Lechlandisilio Gogogo.
All right. Apparently that's a place.
Yeah, yes. Wales.
Okay, that's a terrible name for your place. Go change the name of your place if you live
there. When I was a sophomore in high school, a overzealous English teacher made everybody in my class learn to say the name of that town in Wales.
Can you still do it?
It may be a different town, but what I learned was like Yon Var Go Wil Ga Go Geni Wil Go Go Gan Tesilio Go Go Go. You know, like that.
That sounds pretty good.
No.
Yeah. Oh. Sorry, Angel says no. I can't help you.
Uh-huh.
Oh, now he's confused. All right. Let's see. There's her version.
You mean the secret clan fire for Gwendik Golgerik when Rochelle clan de Hilio go go go?
I don't think that was even her.
Exactly.
No. I don't think that was her.
Yeah.
That
sounded like a French accent, like it was Anita Pollenberg maybe saying that.
She's speaking a lot of French in this movie.
Yeah, she did actually.
By a lot, I mean two.
But
words.
Her octave went up a bit.
Yeah, because listen.
Two uses of French is a lot.
Because here are the...
For her.
I mean, here's her in another clip.
What marvelous little girls. Hi.
Well, that's annoying.
That sounds like anime.
But if you play that, then listen to her here.
You mean the secret clan fire for Gwendik Golgerik when Rochelle clan de Hilio go go go?
That's not her, dude.
That's totally not her, yeah.
There's no way that's her. Well, let's say I got a secret eight ball. Is it her?
No.
All right, thank you.
All right.
Then the final, I love the other F word when it shows up in movies, Out of Time. I think this was meant to be more like Burning Sticks, but it still cracked me up when dude from the announcer from the Gladiator movie said this.
You turn them into faggots!
I love how he says it. It's so funny the way he says it.
It's awesome. Love it.
His voice is all over the place in that last bit of it.
Okay. Well, there's your clips. That means it's time for our awards.
Awards.
There it is. Roll out the red carpet, everybody. It's time for Film Sack Awards. And today we've got awards to give to this film. I got to scroll up because I totally went in the wrong place. Here we go. Best name for inhaled bong drugs, The Essence of Man. Ran away with it.
Ran away with it.
I would not want to smoke the essence of anyone, man, woman, whatever. What does that even mean? Yeah. Gross. I guess it'd just be carbon then. Be carbon-based drug is what that would be. Worst sound effects for whips in any film I've ever seen award.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the screaming noise in each one.
It's terrible. Hairiest Dude Award goes to the guy with the carpet chest. Star Trek connections. Turns out, and here's a direct quote from Daryl, the Trek nerd. He says, nobody, nope, no one, really? Zilch, zero, time. Nada, he says.
They couldn't that's have been crazy. Doing both projects at once.
He says, that's what he says. Now, my heart tells me there's somebody somewhere. Like the dude we just talked about, the faggot guy. I shouldn't say that loud.
No, you really should.
I was like, faggots.
That guy, okay? That's who I mean. Not I'm calling anyone and that. All right. If that guy wasn't in some Star Trek somewhere, I would eat my shorts. I think he seems like a perfect fit, but Daryl says no. So
or Pygar being something, you know, being
yeah, I would have seen Pygar.
I don't know, man, because since it was kind of at the same time as Star Trek inventing, and maybe later on they're very purist and he's like, no, I don't want to be anything involved with Star Trek. They were like our nemesis when we were making Barbarella.
Yeah, but he just died not long ago, so I feel like he could have ended up in Next Gen or. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It just would have been a great ambassador from some weird planet. Was he at least on like Babylon 5 or something? Like, I just feel like he fits. Something about that guy fits. I'd give the soundtrack grade today an S for Swanky as All Hell. I loved it. I couldn't get enough of it. There was a part where they used pig grunts as the beat, which I thought was, I'm not 100% sure it was pigs, but it sure sounded like it. And that bugged me. Other than that, it was awesome. Let's get to what... you guys would sum this up as. We talked about what you think the movie is about, but I'm more interested in your 140 character or less summary of this film. Let's start today with Randy.
I'd just like to say once again, this is exactly 140 characters. Brian Dunaway never believes me.
Right.
I write it out in Notepad so I can count the characters.
All right.
Barbarella. No blue bunnies, evil porcelain dolls, chest wigs, thigh-high boots, or budgie henchmen were harmed in the making of this film.
Wow. That really did fill... 140 characters. That's amazing. 145. Brian's freaking Dustin Hoffman over there. What are you doing?
Yeah, definitely 145. Definitely.
Charlie Babbitt. Okay. Where were we? Dunaway. Go.
All right. Barbarella. Saving the universe with her. Vajayjay. No. Sex. No. Cooch. No. Loving. Love box. Yeah. Love box. Double entendre intended. Good night, Alfie.
Nice. Very well said. And well over 140 characters. finally, Ibbot.
Barbarella, a hot woman shags her way through the universe, hooking up with anyone who can fix her vehicle.
Perfect.
True story. I thought about that.
Sounds like life.
Yeah.
She didn't.
I don't have any money to pay you to fix my car.
In the old French 64 comics, this is based on, there was a robot involved in that, and they didn't have it in the movie, which is a little bit weird. And also, she got it on with the tyrant lady, which they kind of hinted at, but they never really explained.
Right.
Oh, French comics. Is there anything you can't do? All right, here's what I learned while you let that old guy from Gladiator put you in that weird black piano thing. When you need to find a place, don't put Angel Man Pygar in charge. Why was he leading him around the maze? He was blind.
Right.
All right. If you're ever short of a pen, just ask old Pygar to pull a feather out of his ass.
Right.
And lastly, in Barbarella Land, space whips make screaming sounds, and that's what I learned in this episode of Film Sack. Let's get to an email we got to read here from, Mickey S. from Sweden. Mickey. Says, the reason Uwe Boll, because we talked about this dude last week with the terrible and regrettable movie, what was called Blood Rain. The reason Uwe Boll gets to gets better actors than he should is that he casts the actors as late as a few days before shooting the movie, even in the middle of making it. He then gets actors currently doing nothing or in between movies. They have a day or two to work, do nothing or getting a paycheck. May take the paycheck. He writes this weird. Pretty sure some of them regret that as well. P.S. Love your show, and I don't know if I can forgive you all for making me watch Freaked and now Barbarella.
Right.
I forgot about Freaked. Oh, I do not like Freaked. And you know who else we forgot about was, what was the Australian comedian guy one? The crazy hair.
Yeah, Who's Serious?
Yes, one.
Who's Serious, cool. Yeah, Young Einstein.
Because we were talking about our worst movies last week, and that's right up there, man.
not nearly as bad as...
No, I'd
Retrograde
still give
it, and
I'd still give Blood Rain. I still think Blood Rain's my worst now. Of them all. I just stand by it. Somebody might point out something worse, but my top five is an ugly top five, and Yahoo Serious, that movie's probably in there, but doesn't take number one. I got one more from Mick Evil. they only do this at McDonald's every 6 months, and it's regional.
There's another Mick.
Yeah. it's like that rib thing. Hello, you should watch the movie titled Rubber on Netflix. It's my favorite bad movie.
Yeah, so this is not the first time this has been suggested to us.
Mm-hmm. Not the first email either. Got a bunch.
I just don't know what to think about it.
So, can we remind the folks and everyone here? Rubber. What the hell is Rubber?
So it's a French movie. There's no one in it that any of us know. Which
2010 was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's about a tire that kills people.
Right.
Okay. I remember seeing a trailer for this a few years ago, and the reviews aren't terrible. It's fair to middling on IMDb, 5.7 out of 10. It's not the worst thing you're going to see. The description is when Robert, a tire, his name is Robert, discovers his destructive telepathic powers. He soon sets his sights on a desert town. In particular, the mysterious woman becomes his obsession in that town, directed by Quentin Dupahex. And I remember seeing this and thinking, this is an example of people who want to be kitschy and want to be cult status-y with their movies, and it's just hard. You're trying too hard. Not, and maybe the movie succeeds at this. I'm not saying it doesn't because I haven't seen it. But my first impression was, it's like Chucky, but it's a tire now. Mm-hmm. And the tire's sentient and is going to
almost
kill
like
people.
A trauma films kind of thing.
Yeah, they want to, but they're forcing it because we now live in a time where you can't do that seriously anymore.
I'd say a closer comparison probably be like Carrie, since it is a car.
Oh, right.
Good. Oh, you mean Christine.
Christine, you mean.
Christine. Yeah. I said Carrie.
Carrie's
I said Carrie was. I said Carrie was a car.
Carrie's a coal miner's daughter, right? The old one. What's her name in there? It's Tommy Lee Jones.
Loretta Lynn.
Not Loretta Lynn, but the one who played her.
Well, yeah.
I think Loretta Lynn was Carrie.
No. The same act, actress played both.
We're going down the wrong path.
Yeah. Well, I'd say, you know what? I won't rule it out. I just feel like we need somebody who really understands us.
Right.
As well as we understand ourselves. Because I think we all probably think the same thing. Like, well, this seems a little forced to be a thing that we would. It's not like rotten. It's not like giant. What's the big tomato one? Giant rotten killer tomatoes. The attack of the killer tomatoes.
Right.
That was a thing. You can look at the old one and go, okay, well, they were really trying to make a serious thing. Like, what if our food did this thing? And, you know. This seems borderline, so someone would have to tell us otherwise. So besides just saying, you guys, my favorite movie, I want to, from our, what you believe to be our perspective as film sackers, and you've listened to us for a long time, we would like to know what you think. And by the way, I just want to just send some love to the guy who sent a tweet to me the other day that said, you guys totally need to do Krull. And I wrote back and said, it's the first episode we ever did. I just want that guy to know that was awesome that he did that. That just means we've been doing this for a long time. All right, next week. Oh, before next. No, we don't have any quotes from Fletcher because he didn't read them because he had grumpy mouth. Next week, Mimic, the story about giant bugs in New York. Very excited about this. I loved it in the theater. I'll say that now. So you'll have to see if I loved it again. Guillermo del Toro. Thank you. Directed that film. Very much looking forward to that. In the meantime, don't forget, you can visit us on the website. The website is, what is the website? Filmsack.com. You can also email us, filmsack@gmail.com. And as always, you can find us on Twitter at FilmSack. You can also find us individually. Randy Deluxe, Scott Johnson, Coverville, and Mission Deep for Brian Dunaway over there. Leave us a review on iTunes. We love that as well. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy's left boob.
Yeah.
We'll see you next time.
I'm saying it right now.
About this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
Who's Typer Van Typer Man?
What?